Amen. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. We'll begin reading there in just a moment. I want to get right into the message without too much preliminaries because I got a lot to say in just a small amount of time. So we'll get into that, but it is good to be here and preach to you. I guess I graduated before most of you were born. Makes me feel a little old, but I'm not old yet. Amen. But it is good to be here, and I trust that the Lord will speak to our hearts, and I do appreciate this opportunity. Been on the mission field for 17, going on 18 years, and I promise you, what I received at Fairhaven Baptist College prepared me for the mission field. If it did not prepare me for the mission field, I would have left a long time ago, and I certainly appreciate the character and the integrity and what was put into me to face some of the things that we faced in Kenya. We've been in Kenya, for almost 18 years, but God has branched out our ministry into several other countries. We're now working, besides working in Kenya, we're working in the Democratic Republic of Congo, South Sudan, which is the newest country of the world, and the country of Burundi. Last July, our newest church was started in the capital of Burundi, Bujumbura. As far as we know, it's the only independent Baptist church in the whole country. We'd like to ask you to remember to pray for the country of Burundi at this time. Yesterday, there was an eruption of violence in Burundi. It's ongoing now. Some protests. The president, who is barred by the Constitution to run for election again, has decided to ignore the Constitution and has declared his candidacy. And so the country is in a lot of turmoil right now. Several people have been killed. They've closed the borders. A lot of the violence is taking place right next to where our church is in Burundi. I watched on the news yesterday over the internet, actually somebody being shot, and it was just right down the street from our church there. And I know that our brothers and sisters in Christ there in Burundi would appreciate your prayers. And please, I'd ask you to pray for them at this time. And tomorrow, hopefully in the message tomorrow, we'll actually share a little bit with you concerning some things that are going on in Burundi and the Democratic Republic of Congo. But this morning, if you turn Acts chapter 17, we want to begin reading here in verse number 1, and if you would please help me out this morning and stand as we read the scriptures. Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse number 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, and where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Let us pray. Father, I'd ask that you'd be with us during these few moments as we consider this scripture this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that we who are here this morning would leave this building better servants for you than when we came. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And thank you. You can be seated. I want to draw your attention to that phrase in verse number 6 where it says, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Being a missionary, I enjoy reading the book of Acts. I don't know how many times I've read the book of Acts, but I promise you it's been many, many times. I've taught through the book of Acts verse by verse many times. As a matter of fact, I just got back from Kenya last Saturday. I was over there for 2 weeks. We had a Bible college session, and the class that I taught was the book of Acts, verse by verse, through the book of Acts. I enjoy the book of Acts. If you are here and God has called you to be a missionary, study the book of Acts. Study how God used those men, and I promise you it'll be a benefit in your ministry. But when I read the book of Acts, there's one verse that stands out to me more than any other verses, and that's this verse here, Acts chapter 17, verse 6. The testimony that these people had during the days of the book of Acts. You know, we all have a testimony. Unfortunately, sometimes our testimony may not be what it ought to be. But to have the testimony that these men had, that they were responsible for turning the world upside down. Not only did they turn the world upside down, but they turned the world upside down for the cause of Christ. You know, we have a lot of people in our generation that have turned the world upside down in a bad way. But these men turned the world upside down for the cause of Christ. When they went into an area, when they went into a city, when they went into a town or village, when they left, I promise you, it wasn't the same as when they had gotten there. And I've often wondered through the years, as I've read this verse in the book of Acts, why was it, or what did these men possess that allowed them to turn the world upside down the way that they did? And why is it that in our generation that we live in today, although I understand we're living in the last days, the Lord may return at any time, but understand there's nothing in the Bible that would prohibit us from reaching our generation where we live the way that these men reached their generation. Yet they turned the world upside down, and so many times it seems as if we're losing ground instead of gaining ground. What allowed these people in the book of Acts to do that? And as I've read through the book of Acts, I've made note of several things in the book of Acts, comparing it to the day that we live in, to see if God has enabled us or given us some of the same things that he's given these people during the days of the book of Acts. And I could give you a long page of list of things, but for brevity this morning, let me mention in the introduction part of the message very quickly four things that we find in the book of Acts that God still has for us today. Beginning in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, I know that's a familiar portion of Scripture to us, but I'd ask you to turn there as we read that, where it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Here in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, God gives to us the job or the task that he wants us to accomplish. You know, these words were spoken here by Jesus Christ to the church at Jerusalem. And in essence, Jesus is saying to that church, "Listen, I'm about to leave. And I'm about to go away. And when I'm gone, I have a job for you to do. I have something I want you to accomplish. And this is what I want you to accomplish, to go into the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." I grew up in the city of Cleveland, Ohio. And growing up, I was the oldest of five children. And being the oldest, oftentimes my parents would give me responsibility that they would not give to the rest of the children. And every Saturday morning growing up, my parents would leave the house and they would go over to the church house and they would go out visiting and do several things over there. And then they'd go out and do the shopping for the week. And when they left, they'd leave me in charge and they would say, "Son, we're going to be gone for a while. And while we're gone, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want done." And invariably, it always had something to do with cleaning. I don't know why that is, you know, cleaning your room or doing something. And that's fine. But, you know, saying that to a young child who was occupied with other things, you know, when I was growing up, I know it's different today, but when I was growing up, Saturday morning was the only time you could watch cartoons. That's it. Now, I understand 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, everywhere. I mean, but back then, and on Saturday morning, Scooby-Doo was on. And I tell you what, I had to clean my room or watch Scooby-Doo. And unfortunately, oftentimes, Scooby-Doo would win out. But I would always justify it. You know, if it's only on for 30 minutes, when the parent, after it's over, then I'll go clean my room. But something would always happen. And 30 minutes turned into an hour and turned into 2 hours. And before I knew it, I would hear that car turning into the driveway. And my parents had returned. And I had not yet done the job that they had given me to do. And I would jump up at the last moment, you know, throw everything under the couch, throw everything under the bed, make it look like I've done something. But listen to me, my friends. Jesus Christ has left this world. And he said, "This is what I want you to do while I'm gone. He who said go is coming again. And when he returns, he will expect us to have accomplished the task that he has given us to do, which is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. That has not changed in the year 2015. It remains the same as it was during the days of the book of Acts. Secondly, if you look in Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 4, we find the message that God gave to those men to take to the world. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. The message that God left these people to take to the world, the message was the message of Jesus Christ. That is the same message that we're to take to the world. We don't take a social gospel to the world. We don't take another gospel to the world. We don't, over in Africa, listen, I'm not over in Africa representing the United States of America. I'm not over there to teach them how to be an American. I'm over there to teach them how to be a Bible believer. And that's the message that we're to take to the world. And that message is what they took to the world in the book of Acts. And we still have that same message today. Acts chapter number 4. And beginning in verse number 1 and verse number 10, we won't take time to read this, but let me explain to you what's going on here. Peter and John and some of the other disciples had gone into an area, and many people were healed, and the gospel was preached, and 5,000 men got saved at one time in one place. Now understand, if the Bible says 5,000 men got saved, these were genuine conversions. These were not people who just repeated some words or raised their hand. These were people that genuinely were converted. And listen, when you get saved genuinely, you change. You're not the same. Now, I understand we grow at a different rate, and the changes may not happen as quickly for some as others, but I promise you, you will change. You will not be the same as you were before you got saved. 5,000 men got saved, and the officials, the religious leaders, they understood something happened. And so they arrested Peter and John. They threw them in prison. And then they went to them the next day and they asked them a question. They said, by what power have you done this? What's your secret? Tell us how you've done these miracles and how these lives have changed. Tell us the secret so maybe we can go out and do some of the same things. And the Bible says very clearly where that power came from. It says, Peter stood up being filled of the Holy Ghost and spoke unto them. The power that these men had during the days of the book of Acts is the power of the Holy Spirit. And my friends, we still have that same power today. It hasn't changed. The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit took residence in your life. You have all of the Holy Spirit that it is possible to have. Our problem today is not that we need more of the Holy Spirit. Our problem is that we need to yield more of our lives to the Holy Spirit. And so during the days of the book of Acts, the power that they had that allowed them to turn the world upside down is the same power that we have today. In Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 9, we read verse 8, where Jesus gave the command or the task, the job to the church. And then in verse 9 through 11, he leaves. He goes to heaven in a cloud. And then we're told the disciples are standing around looking up into heaven. I mean, I imagine they're just staring and, maybe their tongues are hanging out of their mouth. You know, I can't believe he really left. He did it. And the angels come and say, what have you been doing? Why are you standing around? This same Jesus. He's going to come back again. Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that Jesus that left and went to heaven to prepare a place, listen, he is just as concerned for the world today as he was during the days of the book of Acts. It's not that Christ did some things during the days of the book of Acts because of a more concern, because it was the beginning of the church. Listen, his desire today is still that every man and woman, boy and girl, the world over have opportunity to receive him. We could continue going through the book of Acts if we had time, page after page, verse after verse, chapter after chapter, and you'll find that everything God made available to those people, we have available today. Yet they turned the world upside down. So what has changed? Why are we not able to impact our generation the way they did? And as I've thought about this through the years, I came to a realization that in some ways God has given us some things today or made some things available to us today that they did not have available during the days of the book of Acts. Today, we have ways to get the gospel to the world that they did not have during the days of the book of Acts. We live in a day of technology. And And I understand Satan has taken that technology and he's used it for great evil. But that technology also can be used to take the gospel to people. Things that we take for granted, such as the modes of travel. I could get on an airplane in Chicago, and I can be anywhere in the world in less than a day and preach the gospel. How do you think Paul got around? How do you think he traveled from place to place? This thing that we have called the internet. People all over the world, if they have access to a computer, can hear the word of God preached. We have the technology. There are ways to get the gospel to the world that they did not have during the days of the book of Acts, yet they turned the world upside down. We have today, and please listen to this closely, today we have the word of God. You know, during the days of the book of Acts, they did not have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament. And don't misunderstand me, the Old Testament is the very words of God also. But let me ask you, when you got saved, what scripture was used to show you the way of salvation? The last time you led somebody to the Lord, what scripture did you turn to? Isaiah? Genesis? Jeremiah? Or did you turn to Romans and Ephesians and John? Why is that? See, in the New Testament, God has given to us very clearly in a concise form the way of salvation for us to show people. Yet during the days of the book of Acts, they didn't have the New Testament. You know the promises that we have in the Bible about the Bible. It's sharper than a two-edged sword that could even pierce the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. We're told that God's word will not return void. I like how in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 4 it says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And we have the word of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have the word of God today. Yet they turned the world upside down. So what's our problem? Not only do we have ways to get the gospel to the world, not only do we have the word today. Listen, in the country that we live in the United States of America, we have the wealth to get the gospel to the world. We live in the richest country in history. You know, one of the most difficult things that we do in Africa is preach to people about giving. You say, Brother Mickey, why is that so difficult to do? It's in the Bible. Yeah, you're right, it's in the Bible, and we do preach it. Because they must learn to give, because there's so many promises in the Word of God about giving. But listen, when you speak to people who live on $1, $2 a day, listen, we spend more than that on a cup of coffee. We spend more than that go to drive somewhere to buy the cup of coffee. And you preach that to people, and when you're preaching it, you know what they're thinking. They're thinking something like this. Yeah, that's real easy for you to say, white man. I see those clothes you're wearing. That's real easy for you to talk about giving. I see the shoes your children have on. I know the house you live in. I see that car sitting out there. That's real easy for you to get up here and tell us that we've got to take 10% of what we have and give it back to God. It's also difficult to preach because I know in the country that I come from, there is more wealth available to get the gospel to the world. When people come to you in Africa and say, would you come to our village? Will you come to where I'm from? Will you go here? Will you do that? Please, they need the gospel. And sometimes you got to tell them, man, we'd love to, but sorry, we just don't have the money to do that. And they put their head down and they walk away. And you know, they don't believe a word you just said because you come from America. And everybody knows in America, if you need more money, just go out to the tree in the backyard and pick some. Listen, we've got ways to get the gospel to the world. We have the word, and we have the wealth. Yet they turned the world upside down. So what's our problem? And as I've thought about this through the years, I've only come to the one realization. What's changed from the days of the book of Acts is not God and nothing that he's made available. What's changed from the days of the book of Acts is me and you. You see, during the days of the book of Acts, it took a different level of consecration than what we see evident in the world today. During the days of the book of Acts, it cost you something to be a believer. You just didn't walk around and flippantly tell people, oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, in Kenya, everywhere you go, everybody says, mimi nim Christo, I'm a Christian. You just don't say that if it wasn't true. Because during the days of the book of Acts, if you were a believer, at the very least, it cost you persecution. Mostly, it might even cost your life. You read the book of Acts and you find that those people during the days of the book of Acts, they willingly paid the price to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Yet today, we don't have that same consecration. As soon as a problem comes to somebody, what do? They leave the church. Right? Hey, listen, wake up. You're going to have problems. We're all going to have problems. Hey, we have problems because there's sin in the world. When sin came into the world, problems came. And every problem in this world is a result of sin. It may not be your sin or my sin, but somebody's sin caused that problem. And as soon as problems come, we're so shallow, we just run and forget about God and say it's not worth it. But that's not what happened during the days of the book of Acts. If I can illustrate to you what I mean by this, by sharing with you a story that was alluded to in the introduction. Several years ago in Kenya, at the end of 2007, beginning in 2008, we went through a time of an election. Elections in Africa are much different than elections over here. All right, believe me. Anything can happen, and sometimes it does. And Kenya, through the years, had been relatively peaceful during election times, except, I mean, things had happened, but they were isolated events. But in 2007, that's not the way it was. We saw the animosity that was going on amongst the groups of people in Kenya. Elections in Kenya are tribalistic, based upon tribes, and it brings up what we call tribalism, tribe against tribe. And we saw how things were going on in the country and the animosity. And so we began having daily prayer meetings at our church. Every morning at 6:30, the church would meet together and we'd pray for peace in the country and unity in the church, because in our church we were a mixture of tribes. We weren't just one tribe. Many different tribes were represented, and many of those tribes that were having this animosity were in our church. And so we were praying for that. As things were going on in the rest of the country, things in our town still remained peaceful. And then one morning, as we were leaving that prayer meeting, I had gotten home to the house, hadn't been there very long. I received a phone call from one of our men. And he said to me, "Pastor Mickey," he said, "I'm in the marketplace," he says, "and I'm watching. Two vehicles just pulled up, and they're passing weapons out to people." When he told us that, we realized that something was about to happen. So we began contacting our church people. We began telling them, "Listen, something's going on. You need to leave what you're doing. You need to come to the church building. We need to meet at the church building." Unfortunately, many, if not most, of our people had already left their homes for the day. Women had gone to the marketplaces. Children had gone to school. Men had gone looking for work. But those that we were able to contact started coming to the church building. And about 45 minutes later, an eruption of violence took place that I could not adequately describe to you. In the streets, blood was running. We lived along the main highway going through our town, and we stood in the yard of our house and watched as buses, as they were coming into town, were stopped by mobs of people. And the mobs of people would go on the bus, and they would go through the bus, and they were looking for certain tribes. And when they found that tribe, they'd take them off the bus and throw them in the street and take boulders and smash their brains in the street. I began to receive phone calls from church members. "Pastor Mickey, they're at my neighbor's house, and they're killing the neighbor, and they're coming here next. We need help." We would jump in the vehicle, and we'd rush over to where they lived, and we would sometimes climb through the window and pull them out the window, put them in the vehicle, take them to the church building. At the church building, Pastor Justice Olo, our co-pastor, national pastor of the church, was seeing that those that were gathered at the church building were taken care of, gathering food and water and everything that we needed to take care of them. While I went out from place to place where our people were, and people from sister churches, and trying to get them to safety. As this was going on, the violence continued to escalate. The roads were blocked in many places. Phone calls kept coming. Literally, when I say blood was running in the street, bodies were everywhere. Decapitated bodies, a head over here, the body over there. At our church building now, we have about 300 people seeking refuge. Many of them were church members, some were neighbors. Those people that were doing that killing realized that we were protecting those people they were seeking to kill. And so they put their eyes and turned their eyes and their actions upon our church. I began to receive text messages and phone calls from friendly people in the community. Not everybody was involved. Friendly people in the community saying, Pastor Mickey, this is what they're planning to do. They're planning to go over to your church, and they're planning to take that pastor over there, and they're going to hang him up and kill him because he's protecting people, and they want to make an example of him. You better get him out of there. We had already taken some ladies, and we had hidden them in our home, some ladies that were more prevalent to be attacked because of the tribe that they were of, including Pastor Lowe's wife. She was hidden in our home. I went to Pastor Lowe, and I said, Pastor Lowe, I said, listen, they're threatening your life. This is what they're planning to do. You need to come and let us hide you. We'll hide you in the house where your wife is. We'll let one of the men come and stand here where you are that's of the tribe that's attacking, and let them take your place, and just let us go hide you and put you in safety. And Pastor Lowe was said to me, he says, you know, Pastor Mickey, that's okay. I'll be all right. This is where I need to be. And but the violence kept getting worse. The messages kept coming in, and finally I received the call, and they said, listen, they're coming in 30 minutes, and if that man is not out of there, they're going to kill him. I went back to the church building. You got to understand, I do not have a closer friend in this world than Pastor Lowe. For 18 years in Kenya, we have served side by side. He's as close to me as anybody in this world. And I knew that if those people got a hold of him, I would never see him in this world again. I went to Pastor Lowe and I said, Pastor, please, I beg you, come with me. We've got to put you somewhere. This is what they're planning to do to you. I took out my phone and showed him some of the messages. After he handed my phone back to me, he took out his phone and he handed it to me. And I looked at the messages he was receiving. And imagine receiving messages from your neighbor telling you what they're going to do to your wife when they find your wife. Telling you what they're going to do to that unborn baby that's in your wife's womb when they find your wife. Those were the kind of messages he was receiving. I handed the phone back to him and he looked at me and he said, Pastor Mickey, do you see those people in that church building? Those are my sheep. And I'm their shepherd. How can I go hide when the sheep are as in much danger as the shepherd? He said, I cannot do that. He said, my life is in God's hands. He said, but will you promise me that the church will always take care of my wife? Will you promise me that the church will take care of my baby when my baby's born? I left the building that day believing I would never see him again this side of eternity. While this is going on, understand I'm doing everything possible to get help. But we were a divided town. The police had taken sides, and it was not our side. The politicians had fled. It was every man for himself. Time is up. I'm on the phone speaking to people all over the world, asking them, pray, we need a miracle. The time is up, and that mob, over 100 of them, have now come to the church building. God has blessed us with a good church building, a strong church building, but when they came to the church building, they had various weapons in their hand. They had torches that were lit. Their purpose and desire was to burn the building down with those inside. When they arrived at the church building, there were men of our church that met them at the front door outside of the building. Men that were of the tribe that was attacking, standing shoulder to shoulder with their arm around each other. And they looked at their tribal people and they said, you can't do this here. This is our church and this is our pastor. We can't allow this. The attackers were taken back just a bit because, you see, in Kenya, tribe is supposed to be more important than anything. And I believe that. It's true. But see, when you get saved, you belong to a different tribe. And those people, the attackers, were taken aback just for a few moments, and then they looked at our men. They said, listen, we'll give you 1 hour. In 1 hour, we're coming back, and you will either let us into those people, or we will count you as one of them. And during that hour, while that time was counting down, I was doing everything we could to get help. Nobody would help. As time was counting, it was almost over. We were reminded that in our Christian school, we have a Christian school there, that some of the students, one of the students' father is a police officer, and he's a friend of mine. I know him. I spoke to him almost every day. He had visited our services a time or two. I got his phone number. I called him. Unfortunately, he was not in Nakuru, our town. He was stationed in another place, and he said to me, Pastor, he said, there's nothing I can do. He said, the police will not help you. I'm telling you, they're not on your side. He said, I'm not there. There's nothing that can be done. And then he says, but you know, I do have a friend, and he's in the military. He says, I doubt that he can do anything. He says, but here's his number. You call him, and you say, I told you to call. So we called that man and explained to him what was going on. We have a military base just 20 minutes from us, and he knew what was going on. And he said, preacher, I'm sorry. He said, the government has forbidden us to leave the base. They do not want the military involved, because if we get involved, it might make it a whole lot worse than it already is. He says, I know what's going on out there. We've heard the stories. He said, I can't promise you anything. The only thing I can say is I will try my best to get somebody to listen. And with that, time is up. That mob has come back to the building. They're looking for a way in. As I said, God has blessed us with a good, strong building. It's made of stone. We have iron windows, and the doors are steel. But those people were going to get in the building, most likely through the roof. As they were searching some of our other buildings, looking for people that were hiding and looking for a way in, off in the distance, far away, you could begin to hear a sound. That sound began to get a bit louder and louder, and then off over the horizon, you saw a moving object, and as it got closer, there came a military helicopter flying low over the horizon. They flew right over our church building, and hanging out of the helicopter were some men, some soldiers with guns, and they're shooting those guns in the air to scare off those people. They landed the helicopters in the field right next to our church building, and behind them, coming down the road, came some large military vehicles, and they came to the church building. And God provided that miracle that we needed. They literally formed a human corridor from the door of the church building to the trucks, the military trucks, to keep that mob from getting at our church people. The military took the people in the trucks and took them off to various displacement camps. And as I said, God provided that miracle. But this is what I want you to understand. God's done some wonderful things in Kenya and some of these other countries. But what you have to understand is why. It's not because of me. It's because we've got some believers, a few, and it doesn't take many, that have so consecrated themselves to God that they've said, God, you are more important to me than anything in this world. You are more important to me even than my own family and my own safety and my own life. And my friends, when you've got a few people like that, step out and get out of the way and watch what God's going to do. And that's exactly the way these people were during the days of the book of Acts. They were consecrated in a way beyond what we understand today. And if we could ever get back to that, step out of the way and watch what God's going to do. If you could get that way in your life, God will change your family. If you can be that way in your life, whatever ministry you're involved in, watch out, because God's going to do something. These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Read the book of Acts. We have everything available today that they had, and they turned the world upside down. We even have things available today that they didn't have to make our job easier, yet we're losing ground. The only conclusion that I can come to is the thing that has changed is me and you. And if we could ever get back to that level of consecration, it'll make all the difference in our ministries and in our churches. It'll make all the differences in impacting our generation the way they impacted their generation. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation time. I don't know how it is in your life, but I know how it is in my life. And I know that in my life, it's so easy to get consumed with just living life that my consecration to God wavers at times. But my friends, we've got to understand, as a believer, as a Christian, that means Jesus Christ is supposed to be the most important thing in our life. Our service to Him is to be more important than anything. And if we could ever get back to that in our life, God could really do something with us and through us. I hope and believe that everybody here this morning is saved. I hope and believe that everybody here this morning desires to serve God. But as we serve God, let's serve God with total consecration in our life. Can we stand, please, at our seat as we pray? Father in heaven, thank you for again for this opportunity to preach. Thank you for the book of Acts. Thank you for these stories that you've given to us. Thank you for the application that we can make in our life. Lord, I pray that our consecration to you can be as it was during the days of the book of Acts. Lord, I pray that you would use us to turn our generation upside down for the cause of Christ. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As the instruments play, if God has spoken to your heart this morning, you come and take a few moments and kneel, or kneel at your seat, but take a few moments and speak to God. Give some things over to God in your life.